Last month there was a survey that came out that it looked at 57 different arts groups here locally. They'd had 649 job losses during that time. They'd lost $33.5 million during that time. We're talking about a 6-week period, and now not a month has passed. Happily, there's another initiative to do something about this. And this time on a national basis, it's called Save Our Stages Act. Debbie Story is the CEO and president of the AT&T Performing Arts Center and joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, David.
So you've got, what, a half a dozen of those 57 that were in that survey?
We do, yes. So, yeah, for all of our resident companies who are part of that survey, as we were the AT&T Performing Arts Center, yes.
Well, this is, this bill that's come out just in the last few days is really intriguing, and it's bipartisan. John Cornyn from Texas, Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, putting together this Save Our Strategies Act, which I see has been endorsed by, what, something over 100 Dallas arts groups. Tell me about this initiative.
So this is a really critical initiative, and we were so pleased to see Senators Klobuchar and Cornyn introduce this. It's designed to focus on music and performance venues. It's with a clear understanding of how devastating COVID has been to the music and performance industries. We were the first to close, among the first to close, and we're going to be among the last to open. And with our doors closed and our stages dark, all earned revenue has stopped. Since March 13th, actually, for the AT&T Performance Center. And that's not just ticket revenue, but concessions and parking and all ancillary revenue that goes along with that. So it's a huge impact on our business and on our industry, as you saw in that survey.
And this initiative is trying to raise what earmarked $10 billion in relief funds, as I
Correct.
understand.
Correct, which is huge when you think about the fact that the National Endowment for the Arts only got $75 million in the last relief package. This would be a significant amount that would go a long way toward helping music and performance venues.
And I not to be self-serving, but we finally got to this wonderful position. You've got that great venue down there with the, in the arts district, and it seems to have rippled out. Lots of smaller companies spread out around North Texas and all sort of supporting each other. It's caused people, I think, to want to go out more, the fact that you have all these facilities
Yes.
available.
Well, I think you know, David, that Dallas has the largest contiguous arts district in the country, which is pretty phenomenal. But the arts and cultural organizations across Dallas have really come together in a collaborative way. We understand that it's a rich ecosystem and that together we provide this incredibly diverse and vibrant range of live performing arts and entertainment, and that this industry supports billions of dollars in economic impact, millions of jobs. It spurs our state's, robust tourism and hospitality industry. Think of the impact on the restaurant industry. So, we're very proud of arts and culture in Dallas and the world-class state of arts and culture here.
One thing we've discussed before is, and you all had a hand in this, is putting together some of the organizations. The State Fair Music Hall has fought forever with the Broadway series and now cooperating and in scheduling and ticketing and everything else. And that's, I think that probably benefits everybody. But there's so many different organizations around here. Is there an opportunity for some consolidation to make everybody stronger?
I think what happens in crises like this is that have such a severe economic impact on any industry. I think it's typical that an industry has to look for ways to consolidate, to leverage resources across different companies and venues to try and be more efficient and effective and more fiscally sound as we move forward. This is one pandemic and it could potentially be practiced for the next one. So we all know that we have an opportunity here. I think we're all going to be looking for ways to collaborate even further and to share resources across arts and culture.
I know, I mean, speaking of your facilities down there, some of them are used by, traveling road shows, and they bring in all their people and put up their sets and do their performance and move on to someplace else later on. But there are a whole lot of resident actors and actresses and musicians and directors and producers and everybody else. What are all those people doing right now?
Yeah, they're doing what most of us in the arts, arts and culture are doing today, which is many of them are laid off. We at the AT&T Performing Arts Center haven't done any layoffs, but we've had to do furloughs and salary reductions. And just this is something that isn't always a well-known fact, but organizations like the AT&T Performing Arts Center, we actually employ producers and writers and directors and actors. So they work for us, but they're also working for other places in the industry on their own. So unfortunately, this has had a direct effect on all aspects of not just venue management and the venues that support those touring performances, but on our local arts individuals and organizations as well.
You know, I mean, obviously this can't go on forever. At some point, you're going to lose those people. I mean, they're going to go off and become college professors or artists or, you know, do something else.
Well, it's one of the reasons that we're so passionate about this Save Our Stages bill is that it has the potential to provide the funding that helps us to bridge this gap, to bring people back to work so that we don't lose them. That's a big concern for all of us, is that as people are out on furloughs, they have to do what they have to do to support their families. And, you know, people who work in the arts have such a passion for the organizations that they work for, so they don't want to leave. But this crisis and the financial impact on organizations like us is if it goes on for too long without funding relief, is going to force people to go find something else to do to support themselves and their families.
Have you got contingent plans for opening up? For example, you know, once it cools off, you've got, you know, a great outdoor venue with the Annette Strauss, and I don't know what happens to, you know, Undermain or the Addison, you know, theater, but
right,
but you got to adapt, I guess.
Well, we are so fortunate to have Strauss, Annette Strauss Square. It's an outdoor venue. The capacity is about 2,000, and so with social distancing, we can safely put 350 people in Annette Strauss Square, and so we are really proud of the fact that we are working toward opening up Strauss Square beginning in September, and we're opening that up to other local arts organizations and performers, but arts organizations whose own performance venues may still be closed in the fall, or whose own performance venues aren't large enough to allow for effective social distancing. So we are opening up Strauss Square. We've worked on really significantly reducing our costs there, getting it down to a bare bones affordable rate so that we can provide a gathering place for local arts organizations and our community in a safe outdoor space.
Wow,
so we're very excited about
that. That could be operating 7 days a week, I would guess, with all the people you could draw from.
It could be. I'll say this. We are moving very, very cautiously because we're watching the infection rates in Dallas and the hospitalization rates. So we're not going to move so quickly that we put any of our folks or artists or the public at risk. But when it's safe to do so, we absolutely could be activating that space, you know, 7 days a week. We're very excited about it.
That's very exciting. All right. Well, before we wrap up here, let me ask you to put your political hat back on. Everybody's got their hand out. $10 billion is no small amount of money for this Save Our Stages Act. But again, it's bipartisan. You've got John Cornyn and Amy Klobuchar. Realistically, what do they tell you the chances are for this going through?
Yeah, well, whoever is willing to place, you know, odds on the chances, you know, place bets on the odds in this political environment. But I'd say the chances are very good. I think it has tremendous support, and it's support both Klobuchar and Cornyn have a lot of interest in music and performance venues. And so I know that they're going to do their best to push this through. And I think there's widespread recognition in Washington as to the impact of this COVID virus on the music and performance industries. Well, so we have a lot of advocacy. We are working with all of our constituent groups and across all of the arts and cultural organizations in Dallas to get people to advocate for support for this bill. And I think it stands a good chance.
Well, I wish you all the luck. And I really look forward to seeing you down at the Annette Strauss Square and looking at some of the I miss live performances. It'll be nice to get that going. And in fact,
that is music to my ears, David. That's the way everybody feels. We all miss live performing art.
Well, if I see you there, I will buy one of those little cans of Chardonnay and we'll split it.
It's a deal.
And Debbie Story is CEO and president of the AT&T Performing Arts Center. We appreciate the time. For more of our conversation with Ms. Story, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.